Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Fasten My, good evening. Welcome to the programme, a rundown of the day's main news before 5.30. So coming up yesterday, we heard how the steam packet's seeking public views on its next vessel. Today, we speak to the company's managing director. Also tonight, DEFA says additional payments to the board have ceased for Isle of Man Meats and says a full review of the board's roles, structure and remuneration is due for completion by this coming April. Have more about that in a moment. Also, what's happening with the proposed assisted dying legislation in the UK? How could it affect us here, and could the Isle of Man soon get an Uber Eats style delivery service? All that, the weather, the traffic and the travel, and as ever, if you'd like to get in touch, you can email us. It's studio@manxradio.com. But as ever, we will start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Siobhan Fastamai.
Fastamai. The Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture says it understands the concerns raised over payments to the board of Isle of Man Meats. Data published in response to a Timwald question for Written Answer showed total compensation had more than tripled in recent years. Two men involved with a Manchester-based organised crime group that imported cocaine valued at nearly £50,000 to the Isle of Man have been jailed. Kane Jones and Thomas Lindop, both from Failsworth in Greater Manchester, admitted being involved in arranging for the Class A drugs to be taken by ferry to the island by a third man in February 2025. The MHK behind the Manx Assisted Dying Bill has urged the UK government to respect the island's independence and autonomy when it comes to granting royal assent. It's as, despite the bill being approved in March last year, it's still yet to receive the mark of approval from Westminster. A Peel-based creative venture will be launched via an open evening at the Centenary Centre tonight. The Solon Theatre Group is inviting anyone interested in getting involved to come along from 7. Here's founder Aileen Clegg.
I'm going to have a suggestion barrel. Then I've got a few sort of key dates throughout the year with ideas for putting some work together.
Further afield, Downing Street's refused to rule out inviting China's president to Britain. The UK Prime Minister's spokesperson says he wants to continue constructive engagement with Beijing after this week's trip. A report has found 94 children were harmed by an orthopaedic surgeon at London's Great Ormond Street Hospital. A 15-year-old has admitted stabbing a schoolboy to death in Parkland in Birmingham last January. And women born in the 1950s have been told again that they won't be compensated over changes to the state pension age. Campaigners claim they didn't get enough information about it being lifted to match men. There are your headlines. I'll have your news in full at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So there is a yellow weather warning in place for hill snow. That is from midnight until 8 a.m. tomorrow. So there's going to be an area of rain affecting the island tonight and at first in the morning. It is going to fall as sleet or snow around 100 feet and above. However, accumulations are expected to be only slight. Looking at the general forecast then, dry and cloudy this evening. It is going to be cold in those strong easterly winds. Rain tonight, as we say, briefly falling as sleet or snow over the highest hills. The winds will increase to gale force for a time. There could be gusts of around 50 miles an hour. Then the good news, wet and windy to start tomorrow, but then the rain will turn light and patchy through the morning. The wind will ease as well and top temperatures will be 8 Celsius. And the good news really is that it'll be much better over the weekend. It will be cloudy, some patchy light rain, but those winds will be much lighter.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbert Trading Estate.
You're listening to Update. It's coming up to 4 minutes past 5. So as we heard on the programme yesterday, the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company has announced it's seeking feedback on what people want from the new vessel that will eventually replace Mananin. So the high-speed catamaran currently provides a seasonal service. It takes passengers to Liverpool in under 3 hours. But the ferry operator warns a like-for-like replacement isn't necessarily possible. Managing Director Brian Thompson has been talking to Lewis.
She's just of an age where she's getting older. We've had mechanical issues with her and ships just don't last forever.
Do you have any ideas what this new vessel might look like at this stage?
I think everybody has individual ideas on what they would like, and the whole point of this consultation is to get people's ideas, but you know, they'll sort of be put in the pot and analysed, and then sort of compromises were made where they can, but giving the majority of the public what they want.
What does a state-of-the-art vessel look like?
I think that's really unlikely, because I think one of the biggest things that I sort of anecdotally comes out of conversations with people across the island is connectivity to Liverpool year-round, and that would be really, really difficult with a high-speed catamaran. But, you know, we do have an open mind. No decisions have been made at this point, and we want to just gather that information and before any decisions are made.
I've been through this survey this morning. You're running it for a couple of weeks, I understand. Have you had many responses so far?
So far, we've had nearly 1,000 responses. So, yeah, great. I'm hoping, you know, that the more people, the better, so we have a sort of rounded view of the island.
So do you think we're going to be looking at a vessel that will be slightly slower than Manannan ultimately?
Yeah, I think that's inevitable, because those kind of speeds can only really be achieved by the catamarans. But I think we're still looking, being able to do 2-round trips to Liverpool. I think that's important.
You've previously stated 120 million, I believe, you're looking to spend on this replacement. Is that still the case?
That's sort of the top line, yeah. You know, we don't have quotes or anything from shipyards, but that would be based on building something like the Manxman.
So you're looking at building something from scratch?
Given how successful the Manxman project was, despite what social media might tell you, I think that is the way forward, because then we'll get a vessel that's fit for what we want it to do.
And what's going to happen to Manannan?
Well, at the moment, hopefully she's going to provide great, reliable, efficient service between now and 2030, and really no decision's been made on that.
That's Steam Packet Managing Director Brian Thompson talking to Lewis A. You can find all the details on the Manx Radio website, including a link to that feedback site. 5:06, 2 men involved with a Manchester-based organised crime group that imported cocaine valued at £49,620 to the Isle of Man have been jailed. Kane Jones and Thomas Lindop, both from Greater Manchester, admitted being involved in arranging for the Class A drugs to be taken by ferry to the island by a third man in February last year. Sean Cowper has the details.
BBC Isle of Man reports that Douglas Courthouse heard the 39-year-old Lindop had been linked to the package by his fingerprints, while 32-year-old Jones was identified through mobile phone messages and voice notes. Jailing Jones and Lindop for 10 and 8 years respectively, Deemster Graham Cook said lots of people on the island will have been devastated by the supply of these drugs. The court heard police had found the cocaine after it was brought to the island by Scott Golden in a black Ford Focus that had travelled on the ferry from Heysham on the 13th of February 2025. A plastic bag containing the drugs was spotted, partially concealed, under the mat in the driver's side footwell. The vehicle was pulled over for a check after port authorities spotted defects. When the package was forensically examined, Lindop's fingerprints were discovered 15 times. Information on Apple Maps on Golden's phone also showed he had been in the area of Lindop's home address in Densmore Street prior to the drugs being taken to the Isle of Man. Police identified Jones' involvement with the drugs plot, as well as £30,000 of criminal cash being taken back to Manchester from the island through a series of messages and voice notes made by pay-as-you-go SIM cards that linked back to him. The court heard Greater Manchester Police carried out an international search warrant on his home in Ayrton Close, which found evidence of drug dealing, including snapbags, digital scales and white powder. Jones was arrested and transported to the Isle of Man, while Lindop bought a ferry ticket to the island and handed himself in to police following the raid on the 18th of September. Lindop pleaded guilty to 2 counts of being concerned in the importation of the Class A drug, while Jones admitted 1 count of the same charge and 4 counts of money laundering. Prosecutors said Jones had played a significant role in both the importation of drugs and the movement of criminal cash. The court was also told Lindop was at the bottom of the pile. Deemster Cook said both men had expressed remorse for the position they found themselves in, rather than the misery the drugs had caused on the Isle of Man. Island residents suffered as a result of the substance being imported and sold, he said, adding that people thieve for it and use violence because of it. The quantity of cocaine involved in the plot proved their links to the organised crime group in Manchester, the Deemster added. Golden from Warrington in Cheshire was previously jailed for 9 years for drugs and money laundering offences.
Sean Cowper reporting. It's coming up to 5:10 here on Update. So the latest now on the fallout over payments made to the board of Isle of Man Meats. So as you might remember, early this month, data published in response to a Tim Ward question for written answer from Onken MHK Julie Edge showed compensation paid to non-executive directors or NEDs rose from £70,050 in 2023 to over £250,000 5,000 last year. So Lewis is with me just now. And Lewis, I understand the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture has issued a response to this.
It has, Beth, yes. And it was the DEFA Minister, Claire Barber, who responded to Miss Edge with these figures in the first place on the 20th of January. This is the first time we've had a statement of this kind, though, and the department says it understands the concerns this information has raised within the farming community and among taxpayers. Like you mentioned there has been backlash over this. The Alderman Fat Stock Marketing Association said it was shocked and dismayed, while the Manx National Farmers Union has demanded answers as to why the payments were ever allowed to increase as significantly as they had. Well, DEFA says additional payments to the board have now ceased, and directors are remunerated by the company in line with their board responsibilities. It also says that after almost 2 years, a full review of the board's roles, structure and remuneration framework is planned for completion by this coming April, and additional support on governance and marketing has been facilitated to help stabilise operations and improve transparency without affecting other DEFA services. The department ends its statement by saying it remains committed to ensuring that support to the plant delivers clear benefits to both the farming community and taxpayers, and it will continue to work closely with the board, the Fat Stock Marketing Association and industry representatives to ensure the meat plant operates sustainably, provides value for money and supports the island's agricultural sector.
Okay, so is that the end of the story for now then?
Well, that's where we're at for the time being, but it's worth noting that Arbury Castletown and Malou MHK Jason Morehouse has submitted two Timald questions for written answer concerning this. One concerning whether the directors were recused from discussions regarding their own remuneration, and another on what the roles of DEFA and the Treasury were in relation to the arrangements for director pay. Answers to both of those questions are due to be published by the 10th of February.
Thank you very much indeed, Lewis. As ever, you can find the full statement on the Manx Radio website. It's coming up to 12 minutes past five now. Well, the MHK behind the Manx Assisted Dying Bill has urged the UK government to respect the island's independence and autonomy when it comes to granting royal assent. So despite the bill being approved in March last year, it is still yet to receive the mark of approval from Westminster. And Siobhan is with us now. Siobhan, just tell us, what is delaying things here?
So basically, due to the island's crown dependency status, the UK's Lord Chancellor, that's currently David Lammy, is required to make a recommendation that royal assent be granted. But that hasn't happened yet, and we're now obviously several months on, nearly a year now. Now, the UK press is reporting that the findings of a Freedom of Information request by the Press Association shows that the UK's Ministry of Justice has written to the Isle of Man government specifically about this bill 12 times in that time frame. So correspondence of this amount regarding our legislation is largely unheard of. I request for information on the contents of some of the correspondence sent between October and December was declined in that FOI on the basis that it could represent a breach of confidentiality and potentially negatively impact the UK government's relationship with our government and the other Crown dependencies.
So Siobhan, would you just tell us, how quickly is royal assent normally issued?
Well, ordinarily, legislation receives the royal assent within 3 to 6 months, and Dr. Alex Allenson has described the delay as frustrating. He told the Press Association 12 questions is relatively unheard of for a bill like this, and this sort of delay is extremely unusual with something that's been passed through Timwald. He says he's considering approaching the Ministry of Justice directly in terms of any further questions that they have to find out what's delaying royal assent being granted. Now, under the provisions in the Assisted Dying Bill 2023, eligible adults over the age of 18 with a prognosis of 12 months or less to live, who've lived here on the Isle of Man for at least 5 years, will be given the right to choose to die. It's worth noting too, Beth, that the news regarding the Manx bill comes as the peer steering the UK assisted dying legislation through the House of Lords has been spelling out why it's in real danger of running out of time there. Here's former Justice Secretary Lord Falconer.
It's had 7 days in committee. That's about 40 hours of committee, which you debate line by line. And the Lords haven't yet finished the study of Clause 1, and there are 60 clauses in the bill.
So 60 clauses there, Lord Falconer mentioned. He's also accusing some of the bill's opponents of tabling 1,000 amendments with the aim of running the clock down, but they insist they're providing proper scrutiny of the highly controversial issue for England and Wales. Others, though, are threatening to use the Parliament Act to bypass the Lords.
OK, Siobhan, thank you very much indeed. So a case of wait and see, I guess. It's coming up to 5:15 now.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
Well, nothing specific to report on the roads this evening. Some of the lights around Douglas are temporary lights on Woodburn Road. That's between Hillary Road and Albany Road. In Onchan, there are temporary lights on Governor's Road. That's at the Blackberry Lane Junction. That's for water valve replacement, and also on Whitebridge Hill for street light replacement. All not too bad down at the airport, but again, the steam packet affected by the weather this afternoon. The 12:45 Heysham to Douglas sailing was cancelled. Obviously, that means the return sailing from Douglas to Heysham this evening isn't going ahead. So the first sailing is going to be Heysham to Douglas, which is actually going to go at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. So passengers asked to check in no later than 8:15.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicles winter check, so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
You listen to Update here on Manx Radio. Well, more local authorities around the island have been announcing their rates for the next financial year. They must all be set by the 31st of January, which is Saturday, isn't it? We've had announcements then from two more today. That's Malou and Ramsey commissioners. Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has the details for them.
In the south, Malou commissioners have announced there will be no rate increase for the fifth year in a row. The local authority will keep it at 199 pence in the pound for the 2026 financial year, following a careful review of current and future finances. It's expecting to see a reduction in rates income from the quarry, but believes this will be partly balanced by the completion of new residential and industrial developments. The commissioners also say they're committed to improving public open spaces across the parish, including additional sites within the Rea Mai development. It adds that the total rates income is anticipated to be slightly lower than in the current financial year, and new capital projects will be funded from reserves. In the north, Ramsey commissioners says it's increasing the town's rates due to rising day-to-day costs, which include higher charges for waste disposal and ongoing maintenance of infrastructure. The local authority has set the rate at 528 pence in the pound, an 18 pence increase on 2025. The board says it recognises the ongoing cost of living pressures and has focused on limiting the impact of inflationary cost pressures on ratepayers. It adds that the budget is balancing affordability with its responsibility to manage public services and assets properly. The local authority says the rate increase will support the replacement of existing equipment and infrastructure and ensure that existing services and facilities remain safe, reliable and of a good standard. It also confirmed that a number of potential projects were deferred or rejected in order to keep the rate increase low.
That is our local democracy reporter, Emma Draper. So on Breakfast tomorrow, we will be hearing from Ramsey Commissioner's lead member for finance, that's Juan McGuinness, about the decision to increase rates in Ramsey. You can also find out more details about which local authorities have set their rates for the next year so far on the Manx Radio website. As I mentioned yesterday, there's that video explainer as well, just setting out exactly how the rates are set and what it all means. 17 minutes past five. So are we about to see an Uber Eats style delivery service here on the Isle of Man? Well, Dazzler, which started last April, is described as a centralised platform for island eateries, and its founder, Martin Aram, says he hopes to roll out the service in the near future. Aura Bar and Bistro director Raj Kalari say his business will be delivered up and going through the website. Raj and Martin have both been talking to Darren.
There's obviously some restaurants there that have their own drivers, and they're happy with that setup. So what we're going to do is we're going to offer them our technology. We're not using white-labelled UK technology. We are using in-house built specifically for the Isle of Man. So we've built everything on coordinates. The customer, when they're putting in their address, they'll see a map if that's their house. If it's not, they can move the pin. Their address remains exactly the same, but the coordinate numbers move. Mm. And it's, so the ones that have their current drivers and they're happy with them, they can use our technology. Mm. Absolutely. That's no problem. But we are going to be bringing in new drivers to look after our restaurants, our clients, which are our merchants that currently don't deliver, and some that do deliver and are not happy with their current staff or their situation or their technology situation. Mm. That will lean on Dazzler to look after their delivery system.
Could it be cars, for example? Would it be bicycles like you see in the UK? Would it be bikes?
Yeah, I mean, around certain areas and certain times of year, I would highly recommend the drivers use a car, of course. But, you know, in the summer around Douglas, yes, it would be. I think it would be fantastic to see.
Ora Boran Bistro was one of the first restaurants to sign up to Dazzler. Raj told me how it's helped his business.
It's brought in new customers, really, who otherwise would not pick up the phone and order food. We do see new customers come in. It's definitely benefited us. Takeaway orders in particular, just on takeaway orders, I can see an increase of about 15 to 20%.
Dazzler say they're going to be offering their own delivery service themselves. Do you think that's a benefit?
To be honest, that's something we all want to do, where we want to save on staff costs, with a lot of talk about it at the moment. And in hospitality industry in general, we are literally shouting our hearts out.
That is Ora Bar and Bistro director Raj Kalari. And before that, Martin Aram, the founder of Dazzler, both speaking to Darren there. And once again, find out more on the website and on our social media pages as well. Just gone 20 past five. Well, a global initiative bringing together women motorbike enthusiasts from around the world has officially arrived here on the Isle of Man. The Women Riders World Relays connected more than 20,000 riders across 102 countries. And really, the aim is to reshape perceptions of what a woman motorcycle rider looks like. So it uses a dedicated app allowing a digital baton to be passed between participants as it travels around the world. I spoke to WRWR ambassador on the island, Lisa Brain, who organised the weekend's event.
I really didn't expect the turnout that we've got, but 10 to 1, quarter to 1, people were already arriving, which is just fantastic. So everybody's just been mingling and chatting about bikes, and we've just started the baton pass here on the Isle of Man. So we now have several baton passes got on. All the ladies are passing between them right now. John Newell is here taking photographs, so keep an eye out. We'll have plenty of pictures online. Yeah, it's just brilliant. I'm just over the moon with how many people are here to support, and just shows you how big the contingent is on the Isle of Man for women in motorcycling.
And that's it, isn't it? It is about, as you said when we first spoke, about changing the perception of what being a woman on a motorbike is. And I think, you know, people of all ages here, clearly passionate, and this is a motorsport that is not just for men.
Absolutely. You know, men might, until recent times, dominated the industry, but women in motorcycling is one of the fastest growing sectors of motorcycling. So this just goes to show that they, you know, we're following the trends. The Isle of Man also has many, many women who love motorcycling, who are riding, who want to learn to ride, and WRWR exists to highlight that.
I think given that, you know, motorsport and motorbikes is quite, you know, a male-dominated thing, it's so nice to have a supportive environment like this for women.
There's probably about 60 or 70 women here that all ride bikes in one capacity or another. So it's lovely to see, actually, a bit of girl power.
I think it's brilliant because already you've talked about clothing for women, everybody's all different sizes and shapes, and so it's good to get everybody together and basically just share.
That's some of the women who are at the Women Riders World Relay event at the weekend. You can hear more in the latest Startline podcast, which you can find on the Manx Radio Motorsport website. It's at 23 minutes past five. An appeal-based creative venture is going to be launched tonight. The Solon Theatre Group will be housed at the Centenary Centre, and the founder, Aileen Clegg, is going to host an open evening. It's from 7 p.m. for anyone who's interested in any aspect of theatre or performance. She's been talking to Howard about who she'd love to see there tonight.
People who are writing things, and then people who'd like to get involved in something that's a bit different, who maybe aren't involved in groups that are already going, or maybe they are. My kind of territory is somewhere in between bewildering and predictable.
That's a happy space to be. And so do people, I mean, do they need to be able to speak Manx, or just have an interest in Manx sort of history and culture, or where would you pitch that?
No, what I've written is in Manx, but I'm interested in stories from anywhere around the world, so any culture really, and any age. The idea is to bring creative people together to do something new.
So would you be aiming to have sort of productions at the Centenary Centre on a regular basis or ad hoc? How do you see that panning out?
I'm not sure yet, which is why we're having an open evening on the 29th of January from 7 o'clock at the Centenary Centre. So if you're interested in finding out more, you could come along to that.
Brilliant. And is this, so you're looking for for writers, actors, poets, musicians, all of the above and more?
Yeah, and anybody who's interested in the tech side of things as well, which I don't know very much about, so lighting, sound and creating scenery, that sort of thing, or just being audience.
Or just being audience, indeed. And the idea is, off the back of that, is that going to be sort of like a workshop evening to bat a few ideas around?
Yeah, well, I'm going to have a suggestion barrel, and then I've got a few sort of key dates throughout the year with ideas for putting some work together. It's not just me involved in it. I've got two fellow directors, Nicola Toombs and Corey Phillips, and Corey's done a lot of writing and acting, and then Annie Kizik's got lots of ideas. Absolutely. As well. I mean, I'd love it if people from other cultures came and got involved, and we could share stories.
That is the founder of the Solon Theatre Group, Aileen Clegg, talking to Howard there. So that open evening tonight from 7 p.m. it's at the Centenary Centre, so if you're interested in any aspect of theatre, do go along. Update Sport is brought to you by The Print Shed. And Darren, hello.
Pastor Mai. FC Leman slipped to a 3-1 defeat on their trip to Atherton Laburnum Rovers in the Northwest Counties Football League Premier Division last night. The home side opened the scoring just before half time, but Charlie Higgins levelled through a penalty early in the second half. It took Atherton just 3 minutes to regain their advantage though, while a second goal in the night from George Chadwick sealed the win for the hosts in the final 10 minutes. The loss for the Ravens is their fourth in their last five outings, leaving the side 19th in the table and 14 points clear of the relegation zone. FC Leman will be back in action on Saturday when they host Ramsbottom United at the Ball with live coverage from Manx Radio. And sticking with football, two clubs have announced plans to enter the Canada Life Women's League for the start of the 2026-27 season. Douglaston District Football Club and Laxey AFC are calling for new and experienced players to join their ranks. If successful in attracting new members, it would see the division expand to 9 teams following Rushden United and Union Mills' entry this season. For more information about training sessions, visit manxradio.com. And in cycling, Isle of Man resident Ben Swift came 65th in the Cadell's Criterium today. Taking place in Geelong, Australia, the one-day sprint race featured over 100 riders, with Swift finishing 30 seconds behind the leader. Swift will be back in action on Sunday for the Cadell Events Great Ocean Road Race. Elsewhere, Max Walker and Becky Story are also planning to hit the road this weekend. Walker will also be competing in Sunday's Ocean Road Race, while Story will be taking on the women's version of the event on Saturday.
Thank you very much indeed. Darren, are you a big cyclist yourself? Have you ever done any big cycling competitions?
No, not really.
No, sorry. No. I always like to throw it at Rob, so I thought, you know, why should you miss out on these little nuggets of conversation? If you want to find out anything about the latest sports stories, do go to the Manx Radio Sports page. We've also got our dedicated Facebook sports page as well. That is pretty much all from Update tonight. Coming up next, honestly, it's one of my favourite programmes that we do here on Manx Radio. It's Rewind with Howard Kane. He takes a look at some of the stories over the past month, gives it a little satirical look that only Howard can do. So that is available on air from 5:30, but will be also available as a podcast shortly afterwards as well. Chris Kinney will then be here with Greatest Hits Live from 6 p.m. At 9, it's A Little Light Music with Maurice Powell, and then Ree will be joining you from 10 with After Hours. The breakfast team here from 6 in the morning, among other things, they will be talking to June McGuinness about those Ramsey rates and why they decided to increase them. So any questions or whatever comments, the team would love to hear from you. studio@manxradio.com. Update will be back at 5 tomorrow. Have a lovely evening, whatever you're doing, and we'll talk to you then.